Time, 7:30. By transcription, WHO presents the address given by Adlai Stevenson earlier today at the airport dedication in Fort Dodge, Iowa. This broadcast is sponsored by the Democratic State Central Committee.
Well, give me Dot. Mr. Mayor, distinguished guests and ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to keep my hair on here this afternoon. I'm very much flattered to have an opportunity to participate in the dedication of these splendid new airfields, which is inevitably going to contribute so much to the commerce and the convenience this great section of the country. I'm delighted to meet here this afternoon for the first time in a long while. So many acquaintances and also an old friend, Senator Guy Gillette, who has contributed so much to the public life not only of this state but of our nation and for so many years. You know, the fact of the matter is, I don't feel altogether a stranger here this afternoon. I used to have a farm out further northwest than this. It's in the Missouri bottom, and it flooded every once in a while. The last time I went out to see it, in midsummer, wild ducks were flying out of the cornfield. So I sold that farm. What's more, my great-grandfather came out here to northwest of here 80 years ago and established the town and planted a great many trees. So I made a little inquiry the other day and I found that the town hasn't grown perceptibly since he was here 80 years ago. I came this afternoon not only to have this opportunity to greet you on this important day in the life of Fort Dodge, but also to talk to you a little bit about agriculture. My opponent has made two speeches on foreign policy during this campaign. Well, I, until this afternoon, have made but one. But I don't find him a hard man to catch up with. Because I think I can say more in one sentence about foreign policy than he can say in the whole campaign. And that sentence is that I stand on the Democratic record and on the Democratic platform. Now, my distinguished opponent can't stand on the Republican record on foreign policy, and he didn't even try to stand on the Republican platform. Instead, he jumped right on ours, and he did it in broad daylight. No, we've been thinking of sending him a bill for rent. Because after all, the Republicans have a lot of money, as usual, and we don't, also as usual. When this campaign began, I hoped that agricultural policy would be discussed in its proper setting. Not as something to be thrown away, thrown every 4 years on the chopping block of partisan strife. In its proper context, foreign policy deals with a good life on the land. And this means an efficient, effective, yes, and a prosperous agriculture. In this setting, agricultural policy is a matter of the greatest importance to our economic strength and also to our relations with other countries. There is a real clash of opinion about foreign policy in our country. The Republican Party has a point of view all of its own, but they don't generally talk about that during campaigns. Instead, It has a Me Too candidate running on a Yes But platform and advised by a has-been staff. A staff largely composed of those Republicans who have opposed, who have obstructed, delayed, trimmed, shackled, and harassed progressive Democratic legislation for the past 20 years. The amusing thing about it is they can't even give themselves good advice, let alone the general. Now, not long ago, they led him to describe the progressive farm program adopted over the past 20 years as nonpartisan. And on another occasion, he referred to them as those programs which have been overwhelmingly supported by our party. Can you tie that? Of course, they can find, and I'm happy to say that there are, occasional enlightened Republicans who have voted for some of these programs. And in election year, these gentlemen are usually fattened up, curried lovingly, and trotted out in the farm belt with blue ribbons dangling from their halters. But my friends, that overwhelming support stuff that they seem to have fed to the eager general is a little raw, because instead of overwhelming support, the overwhelming opposition of the Republican Party has been thrown again and again, over and over, in one session of Congress after another, in one voting test after another, against these progressive Democratic farm programs. When I finished reading his first speech on agriculture, I wondered if by any chance my name was Rip Van Winkle, and if I'd been dreaming for the past 20 years. In fact, I wondered whether I had been dreaming this year, when more than half of the Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against extending 90% price support. I also thought I remembered 4 years ago when the Republican 80th Congress forbade the CCC to acquire storage facilities for grain. It turns out now that the Republicans didn't do this, according to the story that they gave the general. He said there was no shortage of storage space in 1948. Our memories, they tell us, are false. But my memory, my friends, is perfectly clear. And so is that of hundreds of thousands of corn and wheat producers who had to sell their grain below support prices because there wasn't enough storage space. Right here in Webster County, farmers had to pile their corn outdoors where they couldn't get loans. And when the general says otherwise, he is plainly the victim of his advisors, who incidentally think they can say anything they please and get away with it if you're a Republican. Now, if we may, let's examine a little more of the record of what the general calls the overwhelming support of our farm programs by the Republican Party. For my business is to see, if I can, that you don't forget the record. And besides, I own a farm myself. House Republicans voted against the original Agricultural Adjustment Act nearly 2-1. They voted against the Soil Conservation and Domestic Allotment Act 3-1. They voted against the AAA, which is still our basic price support legislation, 5-1. They voted against parity payments 7-1 in 1939. They voted to kill crop insurance 16-1. And against expanding rural electric power facilities 3-1 in 1943. They voted to kill the farm ownership program 8-1 in 1947. That same year, they voted to kill the agricultural conservation program 12-1. In 1949, a majority of House Republicans voted against the rural telephone service program. They called it socialism and a threat to free enterprise, just what they said about REA years before. In 1949, they voted against price support on perishables 40-1. In 1951, they voted against expanding rural electric power 9-1. That same year, the Senate Republicans voted to cripple crop insurance 2-1. And they also voted to cripple the conservation program. And yet, my friend, the general talks about overwhelming Republican support. You know, I've heard so many of these weird statements in the last few weeks that I've been thinking that I would make a proposal to the Republicans. I'd make a deal with them. That if they'd stop telling lies about us, we'd stop telling the truth about them. Now let me add, and I don't cite that record merely to recall the past mistakes of the Republican leaders. They have been wrong so long and so many times that a purposeless recital of their voting record would be wanton cruelty. And what's more, I believe in repentance and in forgiveness. I cite the record not as it recalls the past, but as it reveals the future. One of the slogans they think will win the election that you're familiar with is, "In time for a change." Change to what? They don't say. What would they change? They don't say. Change the job holders? Yes. And I also have a suspicion that one of the things they'd like to change is that voting record on agriculture. But just a 30-day change, my friends, a change between now and election, because the record shows that they have been voting against change for 20 years. While we are talking about change, let me remind you that the Democratic Party has helped the people work a real change, one of the most dramatic in our history. A friend told me about an experience of a man named Leo Martin, some of you may know, then a farmer near Dubuque. He's now sheriff of Dubuque County, who sent a carload of sheep to the Chicago stockyard in the Depression days, and they sold for a price which did not equal the shipping cost. So he was billed for $16. That is his loss after selling a carload of sheep. Leo Martin wrote back to them. He said, "I don't have the $18, but I've got some more sheep if you want." I tell you, there has been a change, all right. It began with the old corn loan program put into effect by the Democrats in 1933. The first loan made under this program was at Pocahontas, right here in the next county. And the very land on which we now stand here, I believe, this afternoon, where this splendid new airport is located, was being foreclosed in 1933 and was saved by the owner through the corn loan program. Now, I call this change when the farmer's income increases four times over what it was in 20 years ago, and that's what's happened. And in terms of what a bushel of corn or 100 pounds of pork will buy, in dollars, the increase has been tenfold. You see the results around you every day. Finer homes, greater comfort, more freedom to read and travel, and more secure, and a better life. Consider what rural electrification alone has meant to country living. Democrats are proud of the accomplishments of the REA cooperative, of the way you as customers and directors have seen this job through to a point where rural America is now 90% electrified. We Democrats are also proud of your soil conservation district. Certainly nothing is more important to our continued national strength and the preservation of our basic resource, which is the land. These districts are expanding our democratic institutions too, keeping alive the old American tradition that the way to solve a community problem is to get together with your neighbors. We have almost 2,500 of these soil conservation districts in the country, covering more than four-fifths of all of our farms. And what I like best about this program is that you, the farmers, assume the main responsibility for seeing that the job gets done instead of asking the government to do it for you. I just want to add that your farm credit co-ops are also managed by farmer-elected boards. And you know how your local PMA committeemen are chosen by secret nonpartisan ballot. I touch on the broad democratic space of these programs for a reason. I've watched these programs work at first hand in my own state of Illinois. I know they increase the freedom and the independence of farmers. I know they increase new opportunities and strengthen our democratic life. But I find the general has evidently arrived at the contrary impression.